You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur with the Innovation for Alpha podcast, and I am joined by my colleague, Mike Szymanski. And today we have a special guest, Julie Anderson from Cambia Grove. And we're very excited, Julie, to talk with you and learn more about yourself and the organization. This comes on the tail end of a summit that we ran in July called the Healthcare Impact Investing Summit. And in advance of an event that we're going to be running later this fall, which is a follow-on and really a conversation involving healthcare stakeholders, of which Cambia is a fantastic organization. But first and foremost, Julie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'm really looking forward to learning more about you and the organization. So why don't we kick that off and just tell us a little about your background, how you came to join Cambia, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Cambia itself.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So I'm a healthcare person. I've been in healthcare now for about 15 years. Even before that, I grew up in a family where everyone was a healthcare provider or had a background in public health. So I've sort of grown up with the healthcare lingo. And I've worked on all sides of the traditional system. And obviously now at this point with Cambia Grove and more of the innovation space. I started off in my career in consulting, focused on hospital revenue cycle, and really learned that there was obviously a lot of opportunity for improvement in not only that specific niche, but others. I then went back to school and pursued a master's in public health from Johns Hopkins. I have a master's in public health and focused on health systems and policy with a certificate in finance and management. So that's the lens that I apply in all of the work that I have done since and continue to do. I focused my research in graduate school on resource utilization in healthcare. And this was right around the time that the Affordable Care Act had passed. And so there was a lot of conversation about how we could improve the healthcare system and build in, you know, more accountability, more patient-centeredness. And so that's what I recommended as part of my research to address the high costs and poor coordination that was very obvious. I then spent some time doing hospital process improvement, specifically Lean and Six Sigma type of process improvement initiatives, and then spent about 6 years working for Blue Shield of California in their accountable care organization department. So our model down there was collaborations between us as the payer and hospitals and medical groups, and oftentimes large clients who were very interested in seeing change for their employees. And it was in this role that I learned about, you know, the complexity at that level. So I'd seen a lot of very deep in the weeds at the clinical level, the complexity, but then you click one layer out and you see just how, again, poorly coordinated this system is and how these players are trying so hard to work together and improve care and just everything that they're up against. So that was fascinating work. And it was about 3.5 years ago that I joined the Cambia Grove team. And the way that I've explained, you know, my career trajectory, as I just described it, is that I went from being so deep in one very specific niche of healthcare to now being in this very high level, broad ecosystem type of space where we think about the healthcare innovation ecosystem as consisting of what we define as the traditional system, which we've called the five points of healthcare. So payers, providers, purchasers, policymakers, and of course, patients, as well as the other aligned stakeholders. So we're thinking, you know, vendors, startups, community-based organizations, and really anybody else who's trying to make change in healthcare. And so it's been so interesting over the years to go from being so deep in the weeds to now being so high level and having this really great vantage point and being able to see how all of these very disparate players interact and the elements that really need to be put in place to support innovation and change at large. So that's my path and a little bit also about what Cambia Grove is all about, all in one.
Cool. That's cool. That's a great lens. And as you're describing it, I just couldn't help but think, boy, it's also job security because this complexity is so complex. There's just it's a never-ending sea of problems that need to be solved. So transitioning over to Cambie, as you mentioned, you've been there now for 3+ years. What drew you first to the organization? And then just describe the organization a little bit for those that are not familiar with what Cambie and then Cambie Grove do and maybe how they interrelate.
Yeah, that's a good question. So we are Cambie Grove. We are an innovation hub focused on advancing innovation in healthcare towards a more person-focused and economically sustainable system. So that's what we are, and that's what we've been since we were founded about 6 years ago. We fall under the Cambie Health Solutions umbrella. So Cambie Health Solutions is our parent company. We are the externally facing innovation hub of Cambie. We're essentially a cousin company to entities like Regents and Echo Health Ventures, for example. And we were founded a number of years ago to push the edge of healthcare transformation. And specifically at that point, mostly to support startups in healthcare as potential solutions to all of the various problems that, you know, I've seen and you've just mentioned. So we started out focused on wrapping our arms around startups and really helping startups succeed. And over the years, what we learned was that you can do everything in your power to build up startups and provide them with funding and provide them with connections. And there are so many issues within the healthcare system itself that even the most well-positioned company has the potential to fail because of just barriers to innovation and just issues with the system. So back in 2018, the team made a pivot to focus more on those elements of the healthcare system that themselves need to be optimized or improved or barriers that need to be broken down so that these startups and other innovators of really any kind have a chance to succeed. And what brought me to the team back then was a role that they had created for me to essentially develop something from scratch called the Solutions Lab, which is what we eventually named it, which was really built around identifying and then breaking down those barriers to innovation in healthcare. And so my role was as broad as that, breaking down barriers to innovation. And I just thought, how fun and exciting can that be? And we had so much freedom and flexibility as this externally facing innovation arm to design what we would want that to look like. And so that's what drew me to the work. Over time, we executed this process within the Solutions Lab where we would essentially scan the community and talk to people about what barriers they were facing, what were those roadblocks that they kept bumping into as they were attempting to make change and to improve, you know, the lives of patients. And we would then systematically try to uncover, you know, in a very process improvement informed type of way, the root causes of those barriers. And then try to figure out ways that Cambie Grove could leverage our, you know, programs, events, resources, connections to try and help break down those barriers. And then even further from that, the findings that we documented over the years really showed us that, okay, it seems like there might be an infinite list of barriers and challenges, but in reality, you can bucket all of them into one of three categories. And those three categories we've defined as infrastructure, incentives, and culture. And infrastructure, you know, you think of the basic foundational elements of the system, thinking, you know, things like funding for one, and data interoperability. Incentives is along the lines of how healthcare is paid for. Is it value-based care, fee-for-service, somewhere in between? And then culture really being openness or resistance to change, just general cultural competency, trust. So what we found is that we can actually take this massive and daunting inventory of challenges and bucket it into these three categories and then break it down from there. And that's been guiding the work most recently.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are so many topics that you covered just from the view of standpoint of looking at the five P's versus where our entire world is in the vendors, startups, and investors side of that conversation. But I'd rather keep with something that you just finished up with, talking about your solution labs and differentiating between these buckets that you have of infrastructure versus incentives and culture. Now, when we talk about it from a startup standpoint, so when I'm interviewing and I'm coaching our startups in terms of how do they present themselves to the community, whether that be to an end payer or to a potential investor or to our doctor network. We think about these things in very different ways. So we don't even think about the community infrastructure whatsoever. So I think it's fascinating that you guys spend a tremendous amount of resources on a very important topic. And when we think about culture, we think about adoption culture, more about the hurdles of adopting new innovation. We talk about the long strike times of when even a product is approved by the FDA to when it's generally adopted by the healthcare ecosystem. So do I have a question here? Yes, I do. You think about infrastructure, right?
Yes.
Like, that seems like a really, really big topic that you're talking about here. You're talking about things like broadband and
awareness
and that is just big. Like, why don't you just solve everything then?
That is a great question. And that's something that I came to the team thinking myself, oh, it's, you know, the boil the ocean, but it's even more than that. It seemed, we had someone actually, we were tackling data as the first topic because data came up in lots of conversations, but data can obviously mean everything. It can mean so many different things depending on who's bringing it up as an issue. Are we talking about quality of data, access to data, data connectivity? What do you mean? We had someone say, oh, so what's next, world peace? And so, yes, that is a question.
Exactly. I mean, but that just seems like a very daunting prospect. Like when I'm looking at it from trying to solve problems for our startups, I'm already overwhelmed with the sheer size of my extremely focused view of what I think of when I think of infrastructure or incentives or culture.
Yeah.
Like, so what tool, how do you even approach that then?
That's a great question. And thank you for asking that. So the way that we approach it is that we've created a framework and I can actually pull up a visual and show you guys what this
is. Yeah, sure, please.
We have a framework. We call it the Healthcare Innovation Advancement Framework. We've created something that's called the Healthcare Innovation Advancement Framework. And our goal was to make very clear to our community what we mean and how it supports the right kind of innovation, which we've called impactful innovation towards the triple aim. And so we created this advancement framework with the goal of having it be a resource and a tool that the community can use to help understand what it is we're doing and also to drive forward with improvements in these areas. To your question about how do you decide what to do and you know, how do you prioritize and where do you start? We first created this framework. And then the second thing that we did is we took this framework, outlined ways to measure infrastructure, incentives, and culture in state-specific environments. And then we applied this measurement approach in three states where Cambia Health Solutions has a footprint. So we actually analyzed Washington, Oregon, and Utah based on a specific and discrete starting point for how we can measure these ecosystem elements. So, you know, to your point, there are so many different things that fall within each. We selected from our community we had heard as the biggest buckets that we would want to talk about. Thinking, like I was saying before, things like data interoperability, value-based care, trust, openness to change, et cetera. And so what we actually did is we applied that framework in these three states and then created calls to action. So based on the report cards, the scorecards that we got from these reports, we actually could say, okay, it looks like in this particular state, Washington really needs to focus on the move to value, more widespread broadband, focusing in on, you know, health equity, for example.
And so, how do you enact those outcomes to people? Like, have they been listening, or are they just like, yeah, that's great, thank you very much for telling us our business, and please go away?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. So we are really fortunate in the sense that since we were founded back in 2015, I believe it was, we have great community relationships, and we have these longstanding programs, events, and resources that we offer that we now focus on the calls to action that we've identified. Mm-hmm. So we are actually doing the work as well. We created these reports, we identified these calls to action, and now those calls to action are what directly inform what our programming looks like, the connections that we're making, the research that we're doing.
Forgive me here. I don't hear a lot about startups or companies or innovation here in this conversation. It sounds like a lot of conversations with a lot of politicians and hoping that somebody listens to your great ideas.
That's a good point. What I would say is that our belief is that by doing this work and by addressing these calls to action and putting these components in place, that impactful innovation towards the triple aim will be more possible. So essentially what we're doing is focusing in on those underlying foundational elements mm-hmm. that will make it possible for a startup to succeed, for a startup to sell, for eventually, hopefully, impact to be achieved. So we think of it as not on behalf of necessarily, but supporting the startup, vendor, funder communities, because what we hear from our startups is that they're trying their hardest and they have fantastic ideas and things just fall flat for one reason or another that we have been able to bucket into these three categories.
I like the
we feel like we're paving the way.
I like this framework a lot. I mean, it helps to think through and categorize things. When you guys look then, I'm wondering sort of, for example, on an annual basis, do you then take certain elements under here and say, this year we're going to focus on, you know, A, B, and C and see what kind of measurable results? I mean, A, how do you think about that then maybe on an annual goal basis? And then B, with respect to startups, do you guys run cohorts or how do you interact with companies? Is it ad hoc? Just give us a sense of what that cadence looks like.
Yeah. So to your first question, right now we've only run these state reports once. The idea is that we refresh them over time. We're still working on the cadence for that and seeing what will be feasible and what makes sense. Ideally, we would see movement in the scorecards and really see progress in the foundational elements themselves, as well as the triple aim. And the way that we prioritize our work is we have one team. We're not large. There are five of us. We focus in on those areas that have overlap across the three states. So that's how we prioritize. We say, okay, it looks like, for example, the move to value and the barriers associated with value-based care are at the top of the list in all three. That makes sense for us to focus on this year. And interestingly enough, as we learn from these reports and see these calls to action, there's a lot of overlap. There are unique elements to each of the three states, but there's also a lot of consistency. And then as we do our research, we find that there's even more overlap than maybe we originally thought. There are themes that just exist no matter where you are. Obviously, in addition to those nuances, but based on each geography, those are undoubtedly always present. But we prioritize based on what the calls to action say, how well they align with each other, and then what we hear from the community about the root causes.
So these calls to action, you know, a big part of the Investor Impact Summit was about bringing family offices who have been really interested in social impact investing and companies who have been trying to solve real problems in their communities, whether it be in healthcare or elsewhere, together within a framework where we could finally have these conversations with Cambia Grove, where we can finally get involved in these conversations, where we as the startups and investors and vendors of the world can improve the communications with the five P's, as you originally put it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And so with these call to actions and the work and tremendous work that you guys are doing, how would I direct a family office investor to think about the resources or the research or the interaction with a group like yourselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that gets to actually the second question I think that Tobin had asked. We have a great membership model. So we have about, at this point, nearing 500 members from not only all across our states, but all across the country. We have, I think, seven individual countries represented. So we have a really robust and active and engaged group of members that is now all virtual. One thing that I don't think I mentioned at the beginning is that before we had to shut down for the pandemic, we had an in-person co-working space, event space, venue that is where our startups would convene. So previously we had a much more tangible offering to the community, the vendor startup funder community, in the form of our co-working space and event space. And now it's been made virtual. And so what I would recommend is joining us as members and getting access to that really engaged network of innovators of all kinds.
We'll make sure to share the contact information with that, both before and after, at the end of this video when we do the final edits. But thank you, Julie.
That's yeah. Great. Yeah. And then also joining us for our events, our programs, participating in our, you know, social media community. There's a lot of activity. And how I would describe the membership and the people who comprise the membership is it's about half startups and then half traditional healthcare system. And so I would say probably half aligned stakeholders is how we've defined them. So half startups, vendors, funders, et cetera, and then half folks from the Five Points. So it's a really interesting way to connect between those two, not necessarily buckets, but two different categories of innovators.
On the programming side, I'm just curious too, do you have standard programming, things that are kind of reoccurring events? And then as you're identifying certain areas that you want to draw more attention to, you create ad hoc programming, or how do you guys manage that part of the organization?
Yeah, that's a good question too. So we have at this point a very robust portfolio of fully operational programs, events, and resources that we repeat regularly. Some are annual. We have, for example, a startup competition that happens once a year. We call it the Trails Competition. It's all about providing startups specifically with access to the healthcare system to build that culture of innovation. If it were to fit into one of the three buckets, that would be the one. And then we have more frequently recurring events, for example, a fireside chat series or more informal roundtables. And all of those types of programs are responsive to the needs that we've identified in the community. And again, the barriers that we've identified because of the feedback we've received from the startup community specifically. Well, so basically everything we do can be adjusted to meet the needs.
Yeah, it seems like we really need to continue the conversation between our two networks, because we're both coming at that same core problem of overcoming these hurdles and from distinctly different sides of the exact same group. I mean, we're both trying to bring together all of these individuals, but we're trying to bring this group together and you're bringing this group together. I think it's a perfect combination.
Yep, absolutely agree.
You know, one of the things that we had coming out of the Impact Summit was this idea of channels of communication, where we were, I shouldn't call them channels of communication, more pipelines of issues, where we're thinking about things like mental health as being a major issue, equal access to healthcare being a major issue. But one of them that we really wanted to focus on was the organizational, I call it the organizational ecosystem. You would just call it the ecosystem, I'm sure. But the organizational ecosystem of how do we solve these big problems, and how do we integrate with the payers and the players in that space? So
I'm just curious too, Julie, just pragmatically, you mentioned because of pandemic, like a lot of us, there's been facilities changes, more virtual, et cetera. Do you see that shifting back at any point, or have you guys realized that you can accomplish what you're doing virtually, and as a result, it's just more efficient? I mean, how are you thinking about things kind of looking down the road a little bit?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And it's one that we think about and grapple with and adjust to daily. I think what I've found is that we've been able to achieve new and different things in this virtual setting that I think allow us to access a much broader network. And with that broader network comes also a lot of new learnings and perspectives and best practices. So I think from my perspective today, which obviously could change, and it just will also be reflective of the community and what the community needs and is looking for and wants, is I think the virtual setting has really served us well. And I think we've been able to do the research that we need to do and execute programs that are more accessible to a broader variety of people. So I think for us, the virtual space has worked.
It seems like also as a group that's multi-state focused, that also lends itself, just to your point, you know, for the access issue of groups in Utah and Oregon and so forth, whole lot easier for them to interact. They were probably already somewhat virtual in the sense of how they interacted with you. So
that's exactly right. And I think what ended up happening when we had the space in downtown Seattle is that we attracted a very specific and narrow set of participants. And, you know, we had our regulars and we love them. We still love them. We engage with them a lot, but now we just have a lot more breadth and then also depth in that sense.
Michael, probably dive a little bit more into some of the things that we're trying to accomplish this fall in terms of bringing stakeholders together, but just one kind of broad final question on Cambi itself. So as you think about the balance of this year and even into next, Are there specific things in your charter or in your goals that you're focusing on that we could highlight? Programs or goal, you know, whatever, anything that comes to mind?
I think the main thing that we're trying to push at this point is adoption of the advancement framework and really trying to socialize the concept of impactful innovation and the pieces of the puzzle, the underlying ecosystem that really need to be put together to drive that kind of change. So I think from my perspective, it's really all about the advancement framework and shifting the way that we think about funding, for example, to be more aligned with potential impact, to be more aligned with specifically the triple aim and to think more broadly. And I think also just all of the challenges that have been laid bare as a result of the pandemic have really just shifted the way that we think about setting up, once we go back to normal or once we continue to define what going back to normal even means, thinking about everything that we've learned and applying those learnings as we move forward. So I think that is really the underlying theme that we're driving. In terms of very specific programs and whatnot, our calendar, like I said, we've got a consistent portfolio. It goes on year over year. The newest thing that we've got upcoming is the Trails competition. We're focusing specifically on behavioral health, which is another category that has just risen to the top, for so many reasons, especially resulting from the pandemic.
To clarify our group, behavioral health, would this include special needs and mental health issues, or is it more along the lines of child developmental issues? Like, what does that mean, behavioral health?
Yeah, behavioral health essentially being the umbrella in which mental health is part of that. I think special needs could certainly qualify. Substance abuse being another category that falls within. Mental health is most likely going to be the bulk of the solutions that we see, and those are the bulk of the problems that we've heard. We are really excited to be partnering with a health system that's local here in Washington to be providing essentially a mini accelerator program for the winner, where whoever wins this competition with their behavioral health solution specifically will have access to this incredible network of providers and community health centers and larger inpatient hospital settings to help refine and grow the solutions that they have in their portfolio.
And how do startups get involved in something like that?
Yeah, apply. First and foremost, sign up for Cambia Grove's newsletter and you'll hear updates about when the application will become live. And there will be some events in the next few months also that highlight the problems that we're trying to solve to, your question about what does behavioral health mean. We'll have some speakers who will touch on that and help clarify exactly what problems we're trying to solve right now and what solutions we're calling for. So I would say sign up for Cambia Grove's newsletter, join our membership, follow us on Twitter, and there will be lots of information that we'll be sharing that will signal when it's time to start brushing up those applications.
Mike, why don't you drive us a little bit into the summit and the goal of getting stakeholders together and sure. Share a little bit more about what we've learned so far.
Yeah, so when I first met with Cambia Grove a couple of months ago, and just learning a little bit about the work that you guys were doing, it was really around this concept of, here, I'll point up since I don't have the YouTube line below. It was for the preparations for the Healthcare Impact Investing Summit. And the idea came from, like you said, much more of a grassroots concept of looking at the problems that individual companies were seeing as a hurdle. And yet this aspect that those companies that had the greatest potential social good in many ways faced the greatest hurdles. Because if there's an obvious profit motivation, then it's easier to find an investor. If, on the other hand, you're satisfying something that's a more universal social need, then it's a little more difficult. And yet, I'm 20 years Wall Street. I am red in tooth and claw capitalism. I want to put that out there just to be fair. You won't be seeing me doing any kumbaya walks through the woods or anything like that. But I really do believe in this concept of doing well by doing good. Mm-hmm. I do believe that there are greater investments or investment returns than just money that comes out of these things, and that a social good is a necessary outcome for us all. I mean, every time that we're doing well into our society with these companies, we're generating a positive good for all of us. And so I just have a more universal view of an investment return, maybe. Maybe, I guess, does that mean I am kumbaya-ing Kroll at this point now?
You're evolving, Mike.
Just a little bit.
Call it. You know, but to that point, Mike, you know, looking at it from the other side of that coin, a lot of this conversation, Julie, started with a lot of investors, particularly family offices, which is a growing class of capital. Consistently, were telling us they really want to participate in healthcare, but it's too complex.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just seems like a big black hole. They can go put their like energy. It's pretty straightforward. You invest in the next battery company or whatever. And so we thought, you know, this is a relationship game. It's about exposing the stakeholders that are doing cool things and very innovative things to this audience. That's one goal. And so that it creates an easier step for these folks that drive significant capital to lean in. And so that was one of the goals of the summit, was to expose that there are smart ways to get involved. And we're seeing that. But it's a process. You know, it's a relationship game. You know, these significant family offices, ultimately they're going to invest in people. And so they want to know who these people are. So that was another piece of it. It wasn't just from the, you know, the innovation side. It was also from the capital side.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the results, you know, little by little, but to Mike's point, you know, and Cambia is a unique organization, which is why it's fun to get you involved, is because most people have no idea what payers do. And Cambia in particular has got this innovation arm out front, which makes it even more unique. And so we want to expose that and help people to understand there are people in each of these different sectors doing very clever, innovative things. And then pragmatically, whether it's through the show notes or just continuing to highlight and expose things that you guys are doing, we want to make it accessible. So, you know.
Well, and that's funny because our advancement framework has so much in it that is that long-term view. You know, we're talking about adjusting these deeply rooted infrastructure, incentives, culture. These things are deeply rooted. And so that's something that we really enjoy doing, is that we have the ability in our current space to actually think that way when there are so many other stakeholders that really, you know, can't for so many reasons. And so we're over here, we will focus in this way and hopefully, you know, make those connections to that more short-term thinking, more immediate, the more immediate needs. Like, for example, I think about the impact investing and how what we're trying to do by optimizing, for example, incentives in healthcare is by linking, you know, profitability and impact. There's a way for it to be both. And I think that when the way that healthcare is paid for, if it can be shifted, and if we can be more aligned with value and with impact just in general, then there can be more alignment between those two concepts.
Could you give us an example of that? Like that,
I can.
That's, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So right now, for the most part, healthcare is paid for in a very fee for service type of way. It's very transactional, one-to-one. And in a system or in a setting where the care and payment for care is more aligned with value rather than volume, health systems have the incentive to think about ways to make their care higher quality. So I'm thinking about when I was working back in the ACO space a number of years ago, we were focused on reducing the overall cost of care and improving quality scores. And because of the way that that was set up, we had the incentive to think about improving quality or reducing cost. And so we would seek those types of innovations that had that potential positive
impact. I guess that's what I really want to tie this back to, is some advice for startups of how do they get involved in providing that kind of care? How do they get involved in the incentives outcome?
Yeah. So what I would say is target those systems or those providers that you know have the right incentives in place, that there are incentives that are aligned with value and with quality. I'm thinking of, you know, some models like, for example, Iora Health. A number of years ago, we spoke with them and they had, it was, I believe, a capitated type of payment arrangement. And they had the ability because they had this, you know, flat amount of money, it wasn't based on how many patients they were seeing, they had extra funding to think about doing things differently, like, you know, finding transportation to take patients to and from their appointments and whatnot. So I would say zeroing in on those provider systems or those health systems that have more value-based care arrangements or payment structures, and then finding ways to align the solutions that have been developed with those measures, essentially what these systems are holding themselves accountable for, that's how they're defining quality.
That's interesting. So one of the other ways you can think about it is, how do I look at those companies that have had the most difficulty implementing those problems and try to solve their problems and filling the gaps of that? Or have you found that those, the hurdle to coming over, is that a culture problem at that point?
Yeah. I mean, my perspective is that the companies or the systems that are already more aligned with value are a couple steps ahead in the culture category as well, that there is already a greater likelihood to innovate or to think differently or to open the doors to innovators. I see them as being linked in a lot of ways, because the traditional fee-for-service model is, you know, deeply rooted. It's old-fashioned, and it is in many cases associated with a lack of willingness to change. It's working for a lot of people. It's working for a lot of systems. So I think that by finding those entities that are already more aligned with value, you're likely also finding a higher likelihood to innovate and welcome you in.
Of cultural adoption of innovation. Yeah, so exactly. Use one as the indicator for the other and vice versa, because don't bang your head against the wall.
With the other. That's exactly right.
Interesting.
And that's just my perspective, personally, from experience.
But we're gonna rely on that experience, Julie.
Yeah, good.
You have more than we do, that's for sure. So, Evan, you had a question?
I feel strongly about it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to just start to wrap it up a little bit. Sure. First of all, with just an open invitation, Julie, anything that you guys are working on, we want to help promote and showcase. And so never hesitate to let us know if there's something, and certainly we'll keep our eye both on newsletter, Twitter, et cetera. And as we get closer, as we're moving towards the fall, we look forward to getting you guys involved in some of the things. We're working on a very cool community analysis that Michael will be telling you about, using artificial intelligence and the community. And I think it could be something that you guys might really find interesting and be a part of. But are there any last comments that you have just in terms of things that you want to share about the group? And Mike, any last questions on your side?
I would just say, you know, thank you to both of you for all of the work that you're doing and for inviting us to share our perspective. I know it's sort of a different way of approaching the topic of healthcare innovation, thinking about it through this ecosystem lens. And so I appreciate your willingness to let me share our perspective on it. First and foremost, I would say that in terms of a plug, there is one other event that we're pretty excited about that's happening in the fall in September. We're welcoming Mickey Tripathi, who is the National Coordinator for Health IT, to our virtual stage to talk about data interoperability and to meet with a cohort of fellows that we currently have. We have a fellowship that runs this time of year to advance data interoperability in healthcare. September 1st.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, cool. We are actually one of our one of our kind of channels of content is the digital adoption hurdles.
Great. Yeah. There are many.
Interoperability is certainly one of the aspects of those hurdles. So we would love to get involved with that.
Yeah. We're also excited to hear about it. I've lived in the space where we shared data through CD-ROMs and, fax machines and, zip files. And so I'm personally very excited about progress in this space.
You look
we're
too
thrilled.
Young to remember any of that, Julie.
I'm not. I remember it all well.
Well, Mike, what else do you want to hit before we wrap up?
No, honestly, I think we've covered most of what I wanted. I mean, I think the biggest thing that we need to bring forward is this idea for startups, that they need to be aware of the broader ecosystem that they're playing in. And that often, you know, on the one hand, we guide our CEOs and our founders to pay attention to what they can work on, you know, the brass tacks aspect of their business. And yet at the same time, you have to step back. You know, one of our most common guidance to early stage startups is don't be a solution looking for a problem.
Exactly.
Make sure that you fit in with a problem that somebody's already looking to serve. And to that point, make sure you're not swimming upstream. Make sure that the ecosystem that you're playing in is ready to adopt the solution that you want to propose. So I think both of those are very important aspects that tie very closely into the Cambio Grove ethos. And I just want to make sure that we encourage our startups to work with you guys more frequently.
Thank you so much. And yep, we're excited to welcome anyone to our membership or our events. We'd love to have them.
Well, absolutely. And just to bring that full circle, that was the conversation that we were having started about a year ago. What we said, you know what we really A, like to do, and B, it happens to be what we're pretty good at, is we like connecting folks with other people that are doing things very intelligently and creatively and efficiently. We don't like to create a lot from scratch, to be frank. Yeah. We like to look at what people are doing and say, you know, we can help connect these groups and be a much more efficient marketplace. Events are a good example. We invariably have to put on some events just because we have certain themes and gaps in the market that we see that we want to fill. But by and large, our preference is to help other people's events be much more successful. And people that are experts, whether it's an incubator, an accelerator, or anything, you know, of the sort, we say we would rather help them be more successful than spend time trying to recreate the wheel. And so that's partly how this partnership has started to evolve, this network of partners, is to say, you know, startups just don't know all the resources out there. We want to make it simpler and more clear. And at the end of the day, we're just a connector, and we try to, you know, connect and then get out of the way where we can.
You're an expert network. That's our job.
Well, I'm glad we're part of it.
Thanks for spending some time with us and sharing a little bit about both yourself and Cambio Grove, the organization. We're very excited to continue to learn more and lean in to support everything that you guys are doing. And we'll look forward to talking more in the coming weeks and months, both around your events and then this summit this fall. So thanks again.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks, Mike.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.